Reading from Acts 13, verses 1 through 3. In the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon, called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Monday, October 24th, 2022. Did I throw everyone off, Marianne, do you think, by having you read? What's happening?
Know.
Where's Mark? Why is Marianne starting it? Is Mark sick again? What's going on?
Is he throwing around the water again?
So, yeah, I just thought we would start with Marianne, and this was a great verse. She actually, as we were talking about, let's find a verse about prayer and fasting, because that'll be our theme today as we do some readings from Prayer, the Timeless Secret of High Impact Leaders by Dave Early. But Marianne said, hey, there's a good one. Well, there's a good one here. There's a good one here. I like this one in Acts. And as I started to read it, she said, I can read it. I said, great. So anyways.
Actually, you said you read it.
Yeah. So anyways, I thought that would be fun for all of
us. Well, I mean, Paul and Barnabas, think about it. That's how they launched their entire, all these missionary journeys.
Yeah. I know a number of friends. I remember when Tim and Lisa Johnson were entertaining the idea to head up the Fellowship of Christian Athletes for Central Illinois and take that all on at the time. I remember praying and fasting with them over that decision. And I know many people, when they feel led to be a missionary or to serve in a certain way or a role, prayer and fasting becomes maybe foundational for them or for their group of people that'll pray and fast over that. And so that's what we're going to talk about. In fact, we got some good feedback from last week. In fact, Roger Weisgarver, who is our Singing Men chaplain, he referenced some things that he had heard on the program and was sharing with the Singing Men. And a couple other guys said, yeah, they really appreciated last week's topics. We talked about Fast and Pray, A Glorious Day in Biblical Fasting, and that program is archived along with about a year and a half's worth as we've now finally entered into chapter 6 in this book.
We don't move quickly, do we?
No, but there's so much about prayer.
Yeah, there is.
We want to keep talking about prayer.
Absolutely.
And today the goal will be to cover maybe two or three. In fact, in chapter 6, one of the titles is Why Fast? And they give 20 different reasons. So we'll maybe walk through that, and then fasting is, and then another heading, add fasting. So we'll see how far along we can get with the reading. But I wanted to highlight, this is going to be a little easier of a week, Marianne. You know, there's always so many details and facets, and the workload is pretty tremendous. I mean, there's always things to do, and keeping the broadcast going on all 19 frequencies, let alone all the minutiae of details that have to get done each and every day. But last week, as I was just recounting, I thought, yeah, we had the Singing Men on Monday, and then on Tuesday, the Singing Men, we had an audition at the U of I. So I think it's this week or next week we're singing for the women's volleyball. We sing the national anthem for the women's volleyball team.
That's great.
But for the Big Ten basketball, men and women's basketball, they wanted us to re-audition. So last Tuesday night, a bunch of us, the Singing Men, went there. And, you know, with Ken Welch hitting those high notes, I think we impressed them. There was four panelists, you know, that kind of judge us. And then there was a number of other people also auditioning. But anyways, when Ken at the end hits his high notes, I watched two of the judges. They were looking like, who's making that sound?
And
he nailed
it
well. So, yeah, I told Ken afterwards, I think he put us up and over. So hopefully we'll be singing the national anthem at the men and women's basketball games in the days ahead. But that was Tuesday night. And then Wednesday, because of Pastor Jason Schiffo and his eye surgery on Monday, we had Mark Jordan fill in, and he led us through why is it important for each of us to share Jesus with others. He's the senior pastor at New Horizon United Methodist Church, so it was fun to have him as a fill-in. But as soon as he got done and our studio guests left, we had a board meeting.
Well, you're just rushing people along here.
I know. In fact, Huey was a part of the program.
You're going to rush me out of here this morning?
That's right. No, this is going to be a slower week, but last week was incredible. So then we had about a 3 or so hour board meeting covering various details. Then Thursday night, we had our community-wide worship and prayer gathering and filled the place. And again, it represents about 30-plus different churches and people from all walks of life and different denominations, and I just really appreciate how it represents God's kingdom and bringing us all together. And so it was a time Jean-René Bellaquita again led out with worship, and that was a neat time on Thursday. Friday, we caught our breaths and worked out at the Radio Tower and did other things. And on Saturday, we had the Finding Jesus in the High Priest Garments at the I Hotel. And I appreciate Amika and Ona Asaji for their vision to maybe someday bring about a representation or a replica of the Tent of Meeting and the Ark of the Covenant and all the things for people to visually see and experience the Bible through something maybe indoors and full scale. So it'll be interesting how that gets pulled together. But a bunch of people came out for that and were blessed by that. And so, yeah, it was a pretty packed week. This week it just filled with regular radio work.
Regular.
I can't think of it. There seems like there's a couple things going on. Yeah, we don't have any Ministry Leaders Network till the following week, and the next prayer gathering, we're still working out the details for that. But, yeah, it was talk about a jam-packed, high-octane week, I called it. But got some racquetball in, so that's good. Finally getting some exercise in and all the other pulling us different ways. But to God's glory, the radio ministry, the board meeting, as I mentioned, is about 3 or so hours, but covered all the financials, some of the upcoming projects for expansion, some of the policies and manuals that are being put together, and just so many different facets, the bylaws and revisions and updates on various activities and what's going on with the center and the Singing Men, and updates on the theater troupe and updates on the children's choir. When will that be relaunched?
Yeah, let's talk about
English conversation classes and the upcoming Thrivent workshops that'll be in November, two Thursdays in November. And so, yeah, a lot going on.
We're
going
to get that children's choir up and running?
Yeah, I think that's getting close.
Okay, good.
So we'll see. And I know Kate is still in Oregon. Actually, I think she's coming back this week. Well, she's taking care of her dad. She lost her mom.
Yeah.
He lost his wife. And so she's kind of, working with him. Mm. But she's got a lot of ideas for the theater troupe, and she just needs to get back here, and we need
I
to talk them
does.
Through. One was, I can share this, it's new news.
But news to me, go ahead.
We've been talking about maybe having a night where we had 4 or 5 people kind of tell their testimony.
Oh.
And in a dramatized way, kind of like Unshackled, where they may be at Meadowbrook Church or somewhere where there's a nice staging, and somebody can get up, and they kind of can walk you through their testimony with a drama, like how Unshackled does it. And we were talking about it. I said, I think that would be encouraging to see somebody walk through that and different stages in their life and just with a few different props. And I think there's merit for that to come together pretty soon. So we'll see.
Very good.
All right. So today we're going to give at least 20 reasons why fast. And if you missed a portion of today's broadcast, it is archived at greatnewsradio.org, greatnewsradio.org, also at WLUJ.org, WLUJ.org. under the Mark and Friends tab. And for that matter, most Mondays you'll see something about prayer, and you can actually go back 12 years. But we haven't been talking about prayer for 12 years, but we have a lot of archived editions of Mark and Friends, all the Testimony Tuesdays, and when Pastor Jason or other people join us on Fridays, and our Prime Lifetimes in Review on Wednesdays, and then Tim with his cheery devotional thoughts on Thursday, and sometimes he has various studio guests. Those are all archived by year and then by month, so you can just go and
that's great that,
stop
that,
by.
That's out there.
Yeah. So, Prayer, the Timeless Secret of High Impact Leaders by Dave Early. We're in Chapter 6.
And this is page 95 if you're following along in the book.
Mm-hmm.
Why fast? Several years ago, I read through the Bible, studying every passage regarding fasting. I started out looking for benefits of fasting, but soon the question in my mind changed from why fast to why don't I fast more often?
Ooh.
Conviction.
Yeah, we had that last week when church, Wednesday and Friday.
Yeah.
Wednesday and Friday, of course, we fast on Wednesday and Friday, and we're both like, What? And the Pharisees, it was interesting, Tuesday and Thursday.
That's interesting.
Why they chose that. But anyways.
I got very convicted as I read last week.
Yeah.
Working chronologically, I discovered 20 significant blessings gained by those who fasted in the Bible. Number one, fasting held back God's judgment. Moses fasted 40 days to be able to intercede with God on behalf of the Israelites after they had sinned with the golden calf. God heard and spared the nation of Israel. Deuteronomy 9:18-26. Number two, fasting gave Hannah a stunning answer to prayer. 1 Samuel 1:7. Even though she had long been barren, she conceived a special son, Samuel, who would shake a nation with his prayers.
That's a fascinating story and a powerful representation of a woman who loved the Lord and seeked him out and had a miraculous answer to prayer.
For sure. Number three, fasting brought about unexpected victories. For example, Israel was being pummeled by the Benjamites at Gibeah, losing 22,000 men one day and 18,000 the next. Then they fasted. The Lord fought on their side, and the next day they lost only 30 men, while their enemies suffered 25,100 casualties. Judges 20, 26, and 35. Years later, Israel was surrounded by the Moabites, Ammonites, and Midianites and faced certain defeat. The whole nation fasted and prayed and defeated them all without losing a man. 2 Chronicles 20, 3, 4, 12, and 15. Number four, David humbled himself through fasting. He advocated fasting as a means to empathize with a sufferer and develop humility. Psalm 35:13 and 69:10. Five, fasting provided God's protection. Ezra and the rest of the remnant who returned from exile to rebuild the temple had no one to protect them as they traveled. They fasted and prayed, and God protected them. Ezra 8:21 through 23. Number six, fasting yielded a plan and provision. Jerusalem lay in ruin and reproach. She desperately needed her walls repaired so the rest of the city could be protected and rebuilt. Nehemiah fasted and prayed, and God gave him the plan for accomplishing the seemingly impossible job. Nehemiah 1:4. Seven, fasting rescued a nation. The Jews faced extinction as a plan was hatched and the king of Persia was being coerced to exterminate the Jews. Yet, Esther and her people fasted and prayed. God not only spared the Jews, he elevated their leaders, including Esther, and destroyed the ones seeking their slaughter. Esther 4:3-16. 8. Fasting.
And I'm going to jump in here.
Yeah?
I'm just thinking to people, it's going to be one of these where, because we're saying fasting, it begins, all 20 of these begin with the word fasting.
They do.
They're going to be in bed tonight, and they're going to just keep hearing fasting.
I think I will.
So I'm just thinking this is probably some healthy conviction for all of us to entertain the idea of what God may be saying to all of us individually about the importance of fasting, why fast, you know, and take baby steps. Maybe you've never considered or entertained the idea about fasting or don't know much about it. You know, please listen to these words, these various examples, because fasting is very biblical.
It's powerful.
And it can be done in a lot of different ways, and maybe you can take just baby steps to start. Maybe it's just one meal, or maybe it's an item. Maybe you're going to give up bread for a day, or you know, something else that maybe it's social media, maybe it can be a variety of things.
Number eight, fasting has the power to please God by loosing the chains of injustice, setting the oppressed free, and providing for the hungry, the homeless, and the naked. It causes righteousness to shine, healing to come, and God's glory to surround you. It leads to answered prayer. Isaiah 58:6-14. Number nine, fasting purifies soul and body. Daniel fasted from pagan delicacies and was rewarded with better health and increased favor. Daniel 1. Number 10, fasting made it possible to receive revelation from the Lord. That's big. For Daniel, fasting brought the revelation of the great prophecy of the 70 weeks. For us, it can aid in the understanding of such prophecies. Daniel 10:2-3. Number 11, fasting brought a nation back to God. Joel 2:12. Number 12, fasting prepares for the return of Jesus, the bridegroom. Joel 2:15 through 18, Luke 2:57, 5:33 through 35. 13, fasting is a powerful expression of repentance. The wicked city of Nineveh would have been destroyed without her repentance and fasting. Jonah 3, 5 through 9.
And that's a real interesting story because they were like a heathen nation.
Yeah.
They weren't like the typical churchgoers that just
They were
wanted,
repenting, though.
Yeah, they really put on sackcloth, even like the king. And,
yeah, they meant it.
Yeah, yeah.
Number 14, fasting is a secret service to God, often where deep heart desires are expressed. And God, who sees in secret, promises to reward it openly. Matthew 6, 4, 6, and 18.
And that's an interesting concept. Fasting is a secret service to God.
Yeah.
You wouldn't think of saying a service to God, but I think when you flesh that out, when you contemplate or think about it, a service to God, wow, that's an interesting...
It's a huge connection.
Yeah.
Because it's hard for us to forego these desires to eat.
And that it's a service to God.
Yeah.
You're kind of doing it, or I won't say you're serving him, but you're sensitive to the things that he may be sensitive of, or it's like that thank offering of praise that you can give. It's that serving God. It's that service to God.
That's good, Mark. Number 15, fasting is a spiritual service. Anna, a widow in her 80s, served the Lord with fasting day and night. Luke 2:23 and 37, and she saw the Messiah.
And it's interesting that it points out a widow in her 80s. So this isn't just for 20, 30, 40, 50-year-olds. I mean, this could be a discipline for all of us for our whole lives.
Yeah, yeah. You and me as we get older.
And again, you, especially if you're an advanced age or you have medical issues, please talk with your doctor.
Yes,
or,
yes.
You know, you may have certain medicines which prevent you from fasting from, or... If you do fast, maybe it has to be a shorter period of time for health reasons.
Just be wise.
Yeah, be very wise.
Number 16, fasting obeys the implied command of Jesus. In Matthew 6, he was correcting external acts of righteousness performed with wrong motives. When he came to the subject of fasting, he began by saying, "When you fast," Matthew 6, 16 through 18. He did not say, "If you fast." For the serious follower of Jesus, fasting was not an option. It was an expectation. As we've already mentioned, the early church fasted 2 days a week. We're back to that. And turned the world upside down. Yes, they did.
I know we laughed about this last week because there was three different references.
And
God
many
times work with a pattern. When there's a third time, you heard it on the radio, you heard it from a friend, you read it in a book.
Right,
it's like, okay, God.
It's on a billboard.
You got my attention. Hear it again. Is emphasizing this.
Yeah, exactly. If we want their power, that's the early church, we need to follow their practices. Number 17, fasting is a powerful aid in spiritual warfare. Oh, that's true. After his disciples failed to cast out a demon, Jesus did so easily. Then he explained, "This kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting." Matthew 17:21. The validity of verse 21 is questioned by textual critics. I'm glad he mentions this. As possibly not having been in the original book of Matthew. It's true. Even if that is the case, it does not lessen the fact that it was the understanding of the early Christians that the bonds of oppression, Isaiah 58, placed on souls by demons are broken by prayer and fasting. Number 18, fasting increases spiritual power and it prepares for greater impact. Jesus experienced 40 days of prayer and fasting. Immediately after that, we see him preaching with the power of the Holy Spirit. Even though he was God, this power was not present in this way prior to his time of prayer and fasting. For 40 days in the wilderness, Luke 4, 1-14. Number 19, fasting aids decision-making. Yes, the church at Antioch fasted and prayed prior to selecting Paul and Barnabas as missionaries. That's in Acts 13, 1 through 4. We know what came of that.
Yep.
Later, Paul and Barnabas returned to places where they had previously started churches and selected leaders for those churches with prayer and fasting. Acts 14, 23. And number 20, Daniel's 21 days of fasting and prayer were needed to aid the angel Gabriel in his assignment to deliver the answer to Daniel's prayers, Daniel 9:3 through 10:3. If answers seem slow in coming without fasting, start praying with fasting.
And that's a real interesting passage, too, where it seems like there was some kind of delay or powers and principalities were at
power
war.
Power up
and,
in the third heaven that we don't know about.
Yeah, and that the angel
fighting
was,
up there.
Yeah, trying to answer his prayer. It's a very interesting passage, but again, the emphasis here is some of these obstacles, some of these delays, some of these powers and principalities that are warring against us can be broken through the effort, through our surrendering, our fasting before the Lord.
And can help angels. Can you imagine being, I'm just going to say this, can you imagine being an angel for us? Helping us, surrounding us, and we're like, I don't know, I don't care, I don't know anything. You know, it's like, come on, people.
And
give them some help, encourage them.
And we know there's that cloud of witnesses also
kind of
watching out or watching over or observing. And, you know, sometimes that's a catalyst, too. It's like, wow, Lord, would I want to be seen doing this or known for this?
True.
And there are people, or you can really go into a tailspin when you think about everything that you do wrong as being observed or watched over. But the importance we want to focus on today is please entertain that idea of fasting or just trying it. Maybe it's just a simple favorite dessert that you're used to have. And I know a lot of friends have ice cream each night or many times or popcorn or whatever it is. And maybe it's just giving that up and contemplating for a few minutes while you think about, oh, I miss having that right now, that you can turn it in a time of prayer or of worship or just thanking God for the times that you've taken for granted that you could have ice cream every night or popcorn or whatever your favorite thing is.
Mm-hmm.
But we do recommend it. It is very biblical. And
seems to be power in it.
Yeah, there's definitely power, and it will increase your spiritual walk in a variety of ways.
No question.
So, Prayer, The Timeless Secret of High Impact Leaders by Dave Early. We've been in Chapter 6, and we've looked at 20 reasons why to fast. And this is a great chapter. I hope you'll entertain the idea of fasting at some point, or maybe making it a regular part of your routine or your week or your month. We highly recommend it, and I think God will bless you through it.
I agree.
Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Marianne Simpkins with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you. Have a great day and night.